Okay, we'll start with Krishna tomorrow because unfortunately I have to leave for a meeting at 6 o'clock and then Radha Krishna Prabhu will take you through our Krishna Valley and Sustainability Initiative in ISKCON. And I have to warn him, just looking around, who's actually in English. It doesn't look like there's such a threat of you discovering that this is Hungarian English, not English English. So, we'll be doing these set of seminars that by the end of the month leading up to it's called Nature's IQ. If you see it around, it's indirect scientific preaching, but it shows that the theory of evolution doesn't answer the questions of extraordinary phenomena that different species of life actually display. Anyway, he's been in a war with one of the main atheistic evolutionists in Hungary, who came to one of the seminars that we hosted last year. We had three seminars that we hosted at the farm. And when we presented, when he saw this angle, or he saw not this angle, but he saw that the Krishna conscious people were living this lifestyle and we were presenting these principles of sustainability, he was like almost a convert. And that was just in 24 hours, just the same day that he was there. He said, you know, whatever you people need, just, you know, let me know. He is a very, very famous person. So despite the fact that we were preaching to him from the principles of DI and challenging him in public and having debates, we weren't swaying him, neither were we defeating him. But by finding this common ground of agreement with him, he just like melted. And so these people do recognize the fact, even atheistic people, that if you don't have the right social model, in which, in this case, you actually have something at the center, which we call God, called Krishna. He may say, well, all right, we've got this temple and whatever, but it works. He accepts the fact that it works. Otherwise, for them, they teach it, they talk about it, they know there's a need for it, but for them it's a miracle that 150 people can live like this, accept this lifestyle, and actually propagate it. So it's a model, and it's a model that's going on in other parts of the world. Srila Prabhupada wanted our farms, our ashram farms, to be propagated like that. And presenting our lifestyle from this perspective of sustainability is great preaching. It's packaging. Briefly, sustainability, what does the word sustainability mean? Because it's sort of a catchword nowadays. People use it, everyone uses it. But it's sustain. How do you sustain yourself? How do you live? Srila Prabhupada really brought it down to the lowest common denominator. If you can't eat, nothing is worth anything. You've got to be able to feed yourself. We can chant Hare Krishna, we can build temples, we can worship deities, we can print books, but if you can't eat, it's all over. And if you can't solve this most basic problem of life, and it's not a problem, it's a necessity, and it's, for us, it's actually a great experience, because for us, taking the sun, it is really a great experience. If you can't solve it, then all of philosophy, it's not a matter that it goes down the drain, but it's on really unstable footing, because it's not practical. We have to be able to do this. How do we eat? And of course, Srila Prabhupada said, not only how you eat, but your shelter, and your clothing, and your water, and that's it. The problems of life are solved. Not necessarily what you want, but inshallah, so you don't start on what you need, what your quota is. And it's not easy, this transition between what we want and what we need is not easy for devotees to accept. We're also conditioned. We're conditioned souls. A real sort of extreme example, if I can use, of being a conditioned soul is being someone who's actually drug dependent. You've probably heard of that, but when people become really attached to hard drugs, you don't just take it away from them. You have to wean them off it. They go into physical convulsions, what to speak of. There's physical dependence, psychological dependence. Our way of lifestyle is something which the world has recognized is not sustainable. Devotees are used to living like that. Probably the greatest challenge of the Varnashram lifestyle, the simple living that Srila Prabhupada suggested to us, is not that it doesn't work. It works. How can anything Prabhupada say not work? It works. There's no question of it. Not working is like saying Guru doesn't work, book distribution doesn't. It works. Child protection works. But it really needs a real change on how we work. It needs a change in how we live. We have to be willing to accept a different type of life. We have to be able to accept, Prabhupada pointed out, this type of village life, that we take what we need and we live in a way that's easily sustainable. So sustainability means just that. How can you sustain yourself with the food that you eat, and that you eat in such a way that it doesn't poison the earth, it doesn't cause any want or lack for some people, because certain people in certain parts of the world can't feed themselves. For instance, one place, Mauritius, is, if you don't mind if I sit down in the back, Chris. Mauritius is a place where anything in the world grows. But everything in the world doesn't grow. They import most things. For what particular reason? Because the Tate Sugar Company in India decided that this was the best place to grow sugar, and therefore that whole country is a sugar plantation, more or less. Therefore, if it's a matter of them maintaining themselves, sustaining themselves, it becomes a great challenge. Similar situation is in different countries in the world. Some parts of the world are simply ranches, in South America, in Africa, for the meat consumers in other parts of the world. Others produce rubber for the cars that we use, and the entire country produces rubber trees. For what particular purpose? So that we can drive our cars, and we can have not just one car, but two cars or three cars, and change them on a regular basis. And rather than driving at 30 miles an hour, drive at 90 miles an hour, which wears out the tires so quickly. So you can't sustain, not that type of eating. The type of eating that gives everyone the opportunity to both eat themselves, and it doesn't interfere with not only other humans, but then other animals as well. You know what's happening in terms of the ecology. The entire system of the globe is being turned upside down. Just recently I read one article in the BBC. A few years ago they said that the North Pole at the present rate of global warming would melt at 2080. A year and a half or 2 years later, that assessment or valuation was changed to 2020. Now you just note that all of a sudden 60 years changed. Most recently they've been predicting that that could happen in 2012. That's 2 years from now. If there's a climate change in terms of the temperature rise within this world because of the type of industrial gases that we emit, as well as everything else, the pollutants, cars, airplanes, so many other things which are not necessary, then simply a 2-degree rise in temperature in the world is going to wipe out 30% of all the species of life on this planet. And of course, human beings are going to be involved in that type of thing. We can't sustain the type of life that we're living in the world, especially in the Western world, but it's not even the Western world, because this country and China contribute as much to global warming, contribute as much to this imbalance of life, which is unsustainable, practically speaking, as America does. And because of their industrialization and because of their phenomenally large populations. So people are realizing this situation. They recognize that we're really faced with a crisis of proportions that humanity hasn't in the modern world been faced with. We have had things such as wars where up to 80 million people have killed each other or died in world wars. But we risk having phenomenal changes in the whole geography of the world, in how we're able to function, in the rising of sea levels, in the loss of our valuable. In fact, I was just before I came here, I was in Goa for a few days, and I just read the newspaper, and they had one article where they were saying that they expected that as the sea levels are now rising, that within a few years, Goa is going to lose 5% of its land mass. Goa is not just a city, it's also a state. That's a phenomenal amount of land. That means you use 5% of your land. That means you could say 5% of the people who are on low-lying land, they aren't going to know where they're going to farm, where they're going to live, which means where they're going to go. They're going to go to someone else's land and to someone else's farm. That causes friction. That causes wars amongst people. People become unable to solve these type of situations. And if you follow this type of information, you see that these type of assessments are constantly being reassessed. They say 5% now, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later, they say, well, actually now we've reassessed the situation and realize it's going to be 10%, and it's 12%. And when the reality happens, it may end up being a completely different percent, and it will be. And here's Krishna consciousness. We actually have the proper answer as to how to live, how this world accommodated at one point, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, much more people than it does at the present. But they didn't live like they're living at the present. What is this way of actually living a sustainable lifestyle? Our sustainable lifestyle is our simple living and our high thinking. But it may need to be presented in a different way. It can't just be presented that this is the ancient culture. You can bring in the ancient culture, but don't start off with the ancient culture. You may want to start off with what's going on in modern day. What are the scientific facts? What it is that people are observing? What are the immediate solutions to such problems? And ultimately, as people see this and see that it actually works, then they automatically embrace what I mentioned earlier, that this atheist said, all right, whatever it is that you want to call it in the middle, but he has to be in the middle, otherwise it doesn't work. There has to be something to keep people together who are willing to live this whole model. And that is then our ancient culture. That is our Varnashram lifestyle. That is just living according to what Krishna gives us, being willing to control our own greed for unlimited enjoyment, for unlimited sense gratification, for fulfilling all the whims of our mind. But that's only possible if you give your mind something which is much more superior, something that's much more attractive. But you have to give him Krishna. You have to give it Krishna consciousness. And ultimately they can see that, well, yes, it works. And that's the only way it's going to work. You cannot just take away everything from people without giving them something in return. In fact, today I just saw that the second government in Europe just collapsed because of the economic crisis, and that's Latvia. And people are out in the streets and they're protesting against the government that, you know, why is there a 50% increase in unemployment in Latvia? And the economy is plunging, is predicted to contract in 2009 by 12%. Guarantee it'll be a 25% contraction. But that's a phenomenal figure. 12% means 12% of the people at least are going to be out of work. How are they going to live? What are they going to do? who's going to maintain them? These people are likely to become either criminals, or they're out on the street and they're going to be demanding the government to do something. They're going to cause riots. They're going to rob other people. And the first people that they're going to get onto, which you may want to consider, are those Hare Krishna people who are standing on the street selling books, because they're a natural target. Well, they seem to be doing pretty good. So let them collect the money and we can collect it from them. Of course, that's not an absolute formula, but these are sociological consequences of such things taking place, and no one knows. Everyone agrees on one thing, is that they don't know how long this economic crisis will be, they don't know how deep it is, they don't know how broad it is. These are the terms, long, deep, wide. But it's happening and it's going. And it's now become called a depression. It's no longer just a recession. They agree it's a depression. Nothing like this has happened since 1929. The economy hasn't been as bad since the end of World War II. And of course, that's just the economy. And they recognize that there has to be something. So what is it that we offer as an alternative? We need to be a real practical organization. We are a practical organization. And Srila Prabhupada is, actually, was the most pragmatic person. So what is our practical answer to this problem which challenges the entire world? You go on the internet, you go on the newspaper, radio, television, this is what they talk about every day, every minute, it's constantly there. What is Hare Krishna's answer? So Radha Krishna Prabhu's seminars, and I'll be here also with him, depending how much my my meetings also allow, are somehow to present and show how we're presenting the relevance of Krishna consciousness to this question of sustainability. How can you really sustain the current population of the world in a way that's ethical, that doesn't pollute the atmosphere, that allows everyone to eat, to drink, and to actually live together in harmony? Hare Krishna. Radha Krishna Prabhu, I'll leave it to you. And then